Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. Thank you for joining me today. This podcast episode is being sponsored by Richard and Violet Seat in honor of their son, Samuel. Here's what Violet has to share with us about their son. Samuel is the love of our lives. He was received by our Heavenly Father on the 28th of September in 2022 and would be 31. Samuel was our firstborn. Both father and son shared the same birthday, and the family had 28 years of joyous celebrations together, but it was cut short too abruptly, and Richard lost his celebration buddy 7 days away from his 60th birthday. Samuel was always happy and sometimes a clown, doing funny tricks to cheer people on. He was a fighter, and nothing could dampen his spirit. He had a strong sense of justice and believed that everyone should have a chance to choose what they really wanted and be themselves. Samuel was a genuine person in all aspects of his life. He was not judgmental and saw people for who they are, looking beyond their actions and at the circumstances of each person. He therefore naturally had many good friends. Samuel loved his parents very much, manifested through his actions and outward expressions. He loved his siblings, Samantha and Benjamin. Samuel was a caring husband to Nook and a very devoted father to Silas. Samuel, we love you so much. It is painful to let you go, but we know the plans God has for you in Jeremiah 29:11. We look forward to being united with you again on the other side of heaven, where there will be no more death and pain. Living in the pain in our souls, but keeping the holy joy in our spirit till we meet and hug again. We love you, Samuel. Thank you again, Richard and Violet, for sponsoring today's episode in honor and memory of your son, Samuel. Today, you are going to hear from someone I think is a gem in our world of bereavers. She just has so many things to share from a heart that is kind and caring. Kim shares from a place of learning how to walk in the grace God has for us for the moment we are in. Before I let you hear our conversation, let me introduce her. 20 years ago, Kim moved from being a professional counselor to working as a certified life and business coach. She loved every minute of it and thought she would do it for the rest of her life. However, 4 years ago, God called her to radically reorder her life, priorities, and the way she serves the world. Now, as the author of the best-selling book, The Prayer-Powered Entrepreneur, host of the Pace of Grace podcast, and spiritual director for coaches, leaders, and entrepreneurs, she helps Christ followers flourish in every area of their lives so they can serve others from a full cup. Kim lives in beautiful Winter Haven, Florida, with her husband Ron and their Australian Labradoodle, Samwise, who secretly thinks he's a Rottweiler. Now, before we get started, I also want to mention that when I talked to Kim, I forgot to ask her when her daughter Bethany passed, which I know is important. We all like to know that, right? How long it's been. So it was on August 3rd of 2019. So Kim is in her fifth year as a bereaver. So here is my conversation with Kim Avery. Well, welcome, Kim. I am so excited to be able to talk to you. I have listened to your podcast for several months. You're about to hit the 1 year mark, aren't you?
I am, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. I remember standing in my kitchen here in the apartment here, and the first time I heard you talk about Bethany, the daughter you lost, and just realizing she is one of us. I have to get her on the podcast because I'd already been listening to you for a while. And I remember I discovered you because you were a guest on someone's podcast, but I can't remember which one. And I have kind of dug into it. And we actually have at least three people that we run together with, Teresa McCoy, Marnie Swedberg, and Carrie Oberbrunner. Those
well,
are all three.
That?
Yeah. And they're all three like totally different circles. So I don't remember which circle. I'm guessing it might have been Marnie.
Okay.
That I caught you from, but it could have been Teresa. But anyway, somehow God connected us. I believe that was a God thing. And so, first of all, Kim, I would love for you to share Bethany with us and with the listeners, please.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. And it's interesting. I don't know about some of you, but for most of us as parents, often people don't ask about the child we've lost because
Yes.
they're afraid it will make us feel awkward or sadder than we already are. And so it's always a joy, right, to shine her light back in the world. But Bethany passed away when she was 36. So she was our first child and our only daughter. And as she grew into an adult, like so many of us, she really became my best friend. She was just a talented gal. She was a writer, a triathlete. She actually made it to the World Championships for the Ironman triathlon
Wow.
a couple different times. And so she was a warrior. And so the last person in the world you would expect to pass away at a young age, because you don't get much healthier than that.
Yeah. So what, if you don't mind me asking, what caused her death?
Well, it apparently she went upstairs for a nap and just died of a sudden brain aneurysm.
Oh,
And they
wow.
said there was just, it was probably there her whole life. And there's nothing anybody could have done, even if they had known. So it was completely unexpected and without any warning for any of us whatsoever. And so her husband found her after she passed away.
Now, before we turned this on to record, I found out that she had twins.
Yes, that year that she passed away, she had micro preemie twins. She and her husband had tried to have children for years and years, and finally, through in vitro, had two little guys, but they were born very early. One was like 1.5 pounds, and the other was 2 pounds and change. And so they had not yet had their first birthday when she passed away. And so a lot of life and laughter and work going on in her house that last year of her life.
I can't imagine just the up and down emotions of that, because Becca had a little girl who had just turned 9 when she passed, and just the heartbreak of those children not having a mom, and yet the blessing that many listeners don't have, that we have grandchildren from our child, which
Right.
is a blessing. But then when you see those children and you watch them grow, it's so hard. It's you can't help but wonder what their life would be like if their mom were still here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's there's so many emotions that go along with that. So let's go ahead and get into our topic, which is we're going to talk about grief and grace. And your podcast is called The Pace of Grace. So I want to start out with your definition of grace. So you had a recent podcast before you took a little pause on it. I heard you give your definition of God's grace. And a lot of times we hear it as God's unmerited or undeserved favor, but it's a whole lot more than that, isn't it?
It really is. And this is not my definition, but my favorite definition of grace comes from Dallas Willard, who said, "Grace is God's continuous action in our lives, enabling us to do what we cannot do on our own." And so when I think about my life with grief, and even in my life when it's at the best of times, there's always gaps. Sometimes they can be just like a crack in the sidewalk gap, and sometimes they're as big as the Grand Canyon, but there's always a gap between what the situation or the person in front of me requires and where I am. And I am not able to be who I want to be or provide what I want to provide for people in front of me on my own. I'm a limited human being. And so this idea of grace being God's continuous action, he's the God of all gaps, and it's almost like a waterfall. When I step into that situation with faith and belief and obedience, that waterfall of grace, he actually enables me to do what I could not do on my own. And so it's like a right foot, left foot act of just believing there's grace there, stepping into what I feel he's calling me to do, receiving grace. Sometimes it's just for 10 seconds and then I have to ask him again. And sometimes it seems like it's there for longer. But he is sufficient, and he's promised to be sufficient for every need with his grace.
I love that. I love the picture of the waterfall. I love waterfalls. That's just one of my things. And so often God brings me back to the waterfall of a definition of almost whatever it is that he's wanting to remind me of or give me more of. His love, like a waterfall, just pouring down on us. His grace, like a waterfall, just pouring down on us. And I like that the definition of it being continuous. It's not a one-time thing. It is undeserved. It is unmerited, but it's something continual, and it's something that it's from Him. It's divine. It's when we can't do it, He steps in and becomes that for us, gives us the strength we need. I've had for years, my middle name is Jean, which is gracious, grace. And so I've, you know, that's one of those words that I like to study on and hear more about. And so I remember writing on a card, you know, my name, Laura Jean, is Laura is victorious, like a laurel wreath. And so it's like victorious grace, victorious favor. And it's like divine favor. It's divine empowerment. And so it is something that goes beyond what we can do or who we can be, isn't it?
It really is, which is not to confuse it. And I know you would agree with this, Laura, with the fact that we can't always feel it.
Yes.
I think about my daughter being a triathlete. And I remember when we were in Kona watching her in the World Championships, and a whole lot of things had gone wrong during the open water swim. And there's like a 112-mile bike ride, and they were having this heat wave and, you know, lava hot roads. It was just horrible. And she came to the full marathon then, which follows all of that.
Oh, my goodness.
And marathon's normally her strong event, but she was barely stumbling. I mean, she was just barely, when I watched her go by, and it broke my heart. You know, everything within me wanted to beg her to quit. Just quit. You could die. This is horrible. You know, but she gave me the look. Daughter ever gave you the look.
But I was going to say, they talk about moms having the look. We know our kids have the look too.
Yeah. So, and it was the look that, don't you dare want less for me, Mom, than I want for myself.
Ooh.
And so it was just like, okay, babe, you can do it. You can do it. Now, I was there for her. Did she feel better? Did she get a second wind? Did she have all sorts of energy? No, she barely crawled, I think, over the finish line. But she wanted to finish, and there was grace to finish. And it doesn't always feel like that runner breaking the tape and exaltation, but she set out to start and finish. And that's what grace looks like. Sometimes it looks like we're just running, you know, with the wind at our backs. And sometimes it's a 100-mile-an-hour headwind at our front.
Yeah.
But it is grace to keep going.
I love that. When it comes to, you know, losing our child, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, the grace. It doesn't feel good, but we need to finish the race for our child. I mean, we're carrying our child's legacy now. And I know as people who haven't lost a child wouldn't understand this, but some of us have the feeling, especially in the beginning, those first year or two or even three, that it's like, I'm more wanting to finish this race for my child than I am for the Lord. I said, other believers wouldn't understand that. I've talked about, a lot of listeners have heard me talk about, when Becca died, it took me years. I was more excited about getting to heaven to see Becca than I was Jesus, even though He was the one that made it possible. And how horrible, it's like, wow, what kind of a horrible Christian am I? But I think God understands that. And that's one of the reasons why He made the way. That's one of the reasons why He did what He did, because He knew how painful separation would be.
Yes.
And and that grace to just keep going for the sake of our children, the
Absolutely.
Ones who died and the ones who might still be here, for those of us who have other children. So, Kim, how was your relationship with God after Bethany's death? Were you angry? Did you blame Him? Were you confused, push Him away? Did you pull Him close to you? What was that like for you?
Yes.
That's all
the
of
short
the above.
Answer. Okay.
All of the above.
I was thinking about it actually this morning, Laura, about, you know, those big 64 crayon box of Crayola crayons we used to get before school started each year, and how life is like this multi-hued existence with all those different shades and colors. And it's almost as if someone took all of those crayons in their hand and colored all at the same time on a piece of paper. And so what you see is black. And so this blackness just descends, right?
Yes.
Which is that blanket of grief that comes over us and rises up in us. And all those emotions that were always there are still there, where God made us as heavily feeling creatures. And it's a beautiful thing. He's a feeling God. And so it's normal, I think, to feel all those emotions and to not even know what to call them or how to name it or how to live with it. And so, yeah, I don't think anger was my primary emotion. Maybe anger at death. Because death, God's called it the great enemy. That's what he came to defeat. We should all be angry at death all the time. But I also knew that I was so desperate for help, for God, for life, that he was the only one who would get me through it. And so just really threw myself at his feet, moment by moment by moment, looking for that grace.
Yeah, for sure. So we have all faced one of our, if not the biggest fear, is the death of our child. There's something in us that knows it's like the worst thing that could happen to us is the death of our child. And I remember for many, many, many years, our family has gone through a lot of things that most families don't go through. And a lot of things are very private, and most people will never know some of the things our family has gone through. And I remember for so many years, my thought was, at least I've never lost a child. At least I've never lost a child. And then I lost a child. And so there's something we just know that that's got to be like the worst thing you could go through. And then for those of us listening, we're now in that place. But God's invitation in this is to walk with us through it so that we're transformed by it, right?
Yes.
We forget that the true treasure is to know God more deeply, to know and experience his love and his grace in a way that changes us so that we can be love and grace extended to others. And I think I've heard you talk about Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness. If it wasn't you, it was someone else. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pleasant, but he came out on the other side as a friend of God.
Yes.
And in our intense pain and darkness, we can completely miss God's invitation to a greater grace, can't we?
That would be the enemy's goal.
Yes. Right? And we're in such a vulnerable place.
Oh, we are. And that we would misinterpret what we're feeling, what we're thinking, how we're understanding the situation as a sign of God letting us down, God not being good, not being strong enough. Just there's so many misinterpretations. And so I think when we're unmoored and unanchored, such as a sudden loss that we go through when we lose someone we love, it's good to go back to what do I know that I know that I know? And I'll say, Laura, God in his infinite mercy, the morning that Bethany passed away. So she passed away in the early evening. So that morning before she passed away, I was having my devotions and I was in John 11, which is this tale, the account of Lazarus dying and then God raising him from the dead. And I was lingering there. I remember lingering on those verses where Martha came and said, you know, he's dying. You've got to come. You can save him. And it says, Jesus tarried because he loved her. Not in spite of the fact or that he didn't love her, because he loved her, he didn't intervene. And then he went and we know he wept. I love that. He wept with her. He weeps with me. Everything about that account is so comforting to me. And then he goes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And I actually wrote in my Bible, I look at it as I go through scripture all the time, Lord, give me a heart like Mary's to trust you in the darkest storm.
Now, did you write that morning?
That morning.
Oh, wow.
I wrote that. I had no idea. The sun was bright. The world was great. Things were fine. My husband and I are always on completely different devotional plans. You know, we just do devotions in different ways. Mm-hmm. He also just happened to be in John 11 that day.
Wow.
And so when he passed away, it immediately came to mind that out of tender love, he, in a sense, prepared me in advance to have a heart of submission to the hardest thing or to ask his help that I would, you know, so that he could walk through, just like Mary and Martha, losing the brother, walk through the valley of the shadow, walk through the death, knowing, right? That someday there will be resurrection. And so our wait is longer,
Yes.
obviously, than their wait was for Lazarus. But the shape of suffering and death and resurrection is this, it's the shape of Jesus's life. It's the shape of Lazarus' lives. It isn't a mistake. It's the shape of life. And that's why God came. And so every Easter, the first Easter after Bethany passed away, it struck me that God gave up his child so I could spend eternity with mine.
Yes.
And there's not much I would willingly give up Bethany for. I know you probably agree with me, Laura. I would lay down my life today if that meant she could come back. I mean,
yes. Oh, yeah.
No decision involved, nothing. And anything I have, take it away.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have Bethany back. He did that to guarantee I would have that resurrection day with Bethany. That's his tender heart, even in those hard times. And so all of that, knowing that it's always in love, whatever he does, that he weeps with us. I love that that's the one place, John 11:35. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. That he's not cold to us. His tears drop when ours drop. Death is the enemy. Right. But he will bring life and he will keep us company while we wait for that life. And so there's been so much comfort that he's given me even on the hard, hard road.
Yeah. You know, one time the Lord gave me a vision of a pottery wheel and the clay on the potter's wheel. And it was his tears that was wetting the pottery to make it, to form it into what that piece of clay needed to be. That was just amazing to me that it was his tears were the water that was being added to that pottery to make it pliable. So on your podcast, The Pace of Grace, it sounds like you're getting ready to dive deeper into the topic of grace itself. And I've heard you say to help us exchange our grasping for God's grace. And I think this is really good timing. And it's interesting that you brought up Mary and Martha, because the podcast that just came out as we're talking, that just came out, would have been yesterday, was on feeling like God betrayed us. And I talked about Mary and Martha.
Oh, so, that's funny.
So God wants to say something here to some of you. And I love the fact, I guess I hadn't really caught that part, that he stayed because he loved her. We think it's the opposite. If you really loved me, you'd have saved my child. You have stopped this from happening.
Yeah.
And I know what I say a lot, that some parents, bereavers, have a hard time hearing, is that God sees what we can't see and he knows what we don't know. And we have to get to the point, trusting is a choice. Getting to the point where we trust him with that, that there's something we can't see, there's something we don't know. And it's based on eternity. It's based on the fruit of eternity. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in the here and now, because that's where we live. But to continually try to remind ourselves that there's more than this. And that's where our children are. They are in the reality that goes beyond our reality, that's more real than what we have here. And that's really hard to grasp and comprehend. So let's get a little bit practical here. You give 5 movements to be able to experience this greater grace that we've been talking about, that we really struggle receiving, because it's something we receive, isn't it? I mean, even I think about grasping for grace, trying to, you know, God, how do I get more grace, and trying to work towards grace, but it's something we receive. That's part of what grace is, isn't it? So what are these 5 things?
It's beautiful that you say that. I think this picture came to mind while you were talking of, have you ever tried to put a pullover sweater on a reluctant 2-year-old who crosses their arms in front of their chest, or they make their arms as stiff as a board,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
I do it myself. I do it myself. And you're like, baby, just let me pull it over your head, you know? And it's just versus the compliant child who's just like, you know, giving you their arms so that they can wear what you want them to wear. And the sweater's there either way, and it's going to end up on them either way, right? But
right.
It is our posture or our movement towards it. And so it's so hard to remember this. And it's simple, but it's not simplistic, Laura. It's never simplistic. Grace is one of the hardest things to conceive in the universe, especially when we're suffering, because it's counter against what we see with our physical eyes and what we feel. And so much understanding with that. But one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And when I tell it to you, just listen to all the superlatives, okay?
Okay.
This is a crazy verse. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Okay, so he's always willing to give us grace for everything. And so those five movements just start with recognizing and just admitting my helplessness. Lord, okay, here I am. I can't, like after Bethany passed away, I can't go back to work. I can't have conversations with people. I'll break down. I'll cry. I'll make a fool of myself. They don't understand all the things, Lord. I can't do this. But you can. And so I'm asking. So just recognizing and asking for grace. And then the second movement is then release my strategies, which for me, Laura, are always, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And it's just kind of my default mode, right? Either to push through, to strive, to grasp, to make it happen. Okay, I'll toughen up and I'll make it happen and I'll show up to work and I won't cry, or just to give up. I quit. You know, there's no point. But, you know, no, just release all that. Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to give up. I'm just open to your grace. So I recognize he's got it. I release my strategy, you know, which is always very self-protective because grief is so tender. And then just receive, say, okay, what do you have for me to make this phone call, to make dinner, to get out of bed, to have this conversation? Just show me what you have for me in this moment. Just be willing to receive. And it doesn't have to be for the whole day or 10 minutes from now. Just real quick aside, I spent 2 years of my life in bed with severe chronic migraines. I, you know, couldn't parent, couldn't do anything, couldn't drive, just you know. And it was literally breath to breath, just grace to get through the next minute because the pain was so intense. Just grace to get through the next minute, not for this whole journey, to get through the next minute. And sometimes it feels like that, but it came, right? His grace came. And then step four, or movement four, is the hardest one, is just to risk believing that he's going to show up when I do what he's telling me to do. If he's telling me to go back to work now, then I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to get out of bed and I'm just going to show up at the front door. And then if I run out of energy, I'm just going to stop and pray again. And if he says, you can go home now, that's all I needed of you today, that's great. Or if he says, no, I've got enough grace for you to open the door, that's great. Just risk trusting him step by step. Galatians 5:25, right, says we keep in step with the Spirit. And so we just walk it out with him. And then the fifth movement is just rest there. I don't have to worry that I can't do it again tomorrow or the next day or Christmas. You know, the holidays are coming up without my daughter, that I can't make decisions. What about my grandkids at their graduation? I mean, I can worry about so many things, but I can rest and trust that that waterfall of grace is going to be there then too. And it's going to be available that next day and that next thing he asks of me and that next moment. And so I think that's how we walk it out step by step with grace. It's gritty. It doesn't always feel good, but it rests on God's promises, which never lie. And so we know it's faithful.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So let me just run through those again real quick. So the first one is to recognize that God always has grace for us. He always has grace and he always has enough grace. He has more than enough grace. And then to release the flawed thinking, release the I can't, the release, you know, the way that we're seeing and viewing and thinking and the things the enemy has put in our path to cause us to stumble. And then to receive the greater grace that God has for us. And we don't have to know how, we just have to receive it. Whatever it is, God, I receive it. And then to take that risk, step out into where we need to go, take a step forward. And like you said, if, okay, and God says that's enough for today, then awesome. But if he says, no, I'm giving you grace for the next minute, then you take that next minute and then rest, no matter how long it takes, even if it seems to get worse, right?
Yeah.
We rest
Grief
in that
ebbs and
grace.
flows like an ocean, and
Yes.
that's not wrong, or it doesn't mean we're doing it wrong, or it's broken, or no, that's just life. Yeah.
Yeah, because we can feel like, oh, I finally functioned for 3 days in a row, and then all of a sudden we're back in bed again. And it's like, I thought I was getting better.
Yeah, and you were. You functioned for 3 days in a row. That's beautiful. And now Jesus is saying rest. You know, because grief is worth honoring. Our children are worth grieving. And that's okay.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So, Kim, what would you say to another parent who's in that dark place and they just don't think this is going to work for them? They don't think they'll ever get out of that dark place.
Yeah. I understand. When darkness closes in, it's not just psychological, right? It's physical, it's
Yes.
emotional, it's spiritual. We're exhausted. We don't have any energy. You know, we can't even think thoughts. We don't even want to feel better.
Yes.
It's very overwhelming. And the picture I think of is if I put somebody in a dark room or a dark closet and shut the door, right? It's a suffocating darkness. And if I gave you a paper bag and said, okay, I want you to catch all the darkness in the bag so it'll go away. Well, you can't do that.
Right.
There's no way to make that darkness go away with your own energy. And that's not what works with darkness. What we need is someone or something outside of ourselves to light a candle in the closet and just sit with us. And that's Jesus. It's just, I don't have to figure out how to feel better. I don't have to try to make this happen. Lord, I'm just asking you in faith to just light a candle and sit with me today, and the light will grow over time. And so take the pressure off yourself to feel better, make it better, do it better. That's part of the difficulty, I think. I think if we just accept that the darkness is broken by the light and the light is Jesus, and just invite him and then risk doing whatever he says to do. That is how the sun will shine again.
Oh, Kim, this has been so good. This has just been so good. How can people connect with you directly? First of all, there is your highly recommended podcast, The Pace of Grace. I really suggest listeners, you check that out, go through her archives of past episodes and listen to anything that jumps out at you. Now, over the summer, you did every other week, then you took like 3 weeks off, and you're coming back every week now, right? Because I
Yes,
listened, you
we
had one
start.
come out this week. So
We did. We start. I'm trying to move at the pace of God's grace. Instead of
there
doing
you
the old
go.
Kim way
Yes.
of striving and
Yes.
pushing her way through everything, I'm doing life in rhythms these days. Yeah.
Email address, website. How do you want people to connect with you beyond the podcast?
Sure. If you just go to paceofgrace.com, there's a contact form if anyone wants to reach out or get more information about what I do about the podcast. I would love to connect.
All right, sounds good. Any last thoughts you have for us?
I don't know if this is allowed. Can I pray?
Oh, please do, please.
Thank you. Dear God, you call yourself the God of all grace. And you also are the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And somehow those things coexist in you. And so we know they can coexist in us. So, light of the world, please come and just bring a little bit of light into every listener's heart and world and hope today. And we ask this in the faithful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Well, I feel like you're a new friend, not just to me, but to the listeners. So I hope everyone, you find a way to connect with Kim and the encouragement that she has to learn to walk a journey of grace, because it's a journey. It's not something we just jump into. It's something we learn and we grow in it bit by bit. So thank you, Kim, so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Laura. It was a joy.
I am pretty sure there was something in here for each one of you listening. Kim had so many deep things to share, and she has such a wonderful presence about her, doesn't she? She sure lives out the fact that we can all get through the suffocating darkness and be able to live a life of meaning and purpose again. So be sure to share this episode with others who need to hear what Kim had to share with us. Just like Richard and Violet did, you can sponsor a podcast episode in honor of your child. It's only a $50 tax-deductible donation to GPS Hope. You get to select the week you would like to sponsor and write what you would like the listeners to know about your son or daughter. Just go to the website at gpshope.org, hover on the Donate tab, and then click on Sponsor a Podcast Episode in the drop-down menu. And I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And once again, thank you to Richard and Violet for sponsoring today's episode in honor of your son, Samuel. Now, putting this podcast out every other week has kind of messed with me doing the birthdays. So until I go back to weekly, I have decided to make sure the birthdays announced are for the week the podcast airs and then the following week. So because of that, I have a few birthdays to catch up on that have already passed. So this birthday segment is for our children who had birthdays from October 1st through October 19th. Alia Henderson was born on October 1st and is forever 4 years old. Samuel Seat was born on October 4th and is forever 28. Ricky Grace was born on October 9th and is forever 25. Jeffrey Dunkelman was born on October 10th and is forever 53. Mitchell Ang was born on October 12th and is forever 17. David Stoles was born on October 12th and is forever 33. Alicia Martin was born on October 17th and is forever 36. Carissa Ellen Hunsaker was born on October 19th and is forever 1 year old. Samuel Buss was born on October 19th and is forever 21. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day for these families. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced on the birthday segment here on the podcast, all you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Just fill in the needed information there, including the pronunciation of your child's name, if sometimes it's mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you. Submit that form, and then when your child's birthday is announced, Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen to that podcast. I'll also put a link to that form for you to fill out in the show notes. God is inviting you into greater grace, to come out on the other side of this pain and darkness in a place you did not even know was possible. He's offering it to you, but it is up to you to make the decision to trust Him and to embrace the wonderful gift of grace He is offering to you minute by minute, day by day. Whenever you need it, His grace is there for you to receive. And as you do this, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.